This summer we'll be traveling through the book of 1st and 2nd Samuel and maybe a little of 1st Kings. It depends on where we get to. And we know that the book of Samuel introduces us to the kingship. You see, the people, they were tired of not having a king. God was leading them through all their lives, and they said, you know what, we need somebody to rule over us, and we're going to get excited about having a king. And we do that every election, don't we? This guy, the next one. FDR's the guy. No, Hoover's the man. Who's a Hoover? Where are my Hoover people? Nobody liked Hoover. Did he do anything wrong? No. The banks collapsed. There was no system to stop it, and he took, you know, and they take his name and they disparage it, didn't they? You live in a Hooverville if it's something nasty, or if you don't have good meat to eat, it's Hoover meat. No, and it was, so he got crushed for it, and he lost badly. And he was a good guy. He saved Belgium during World War I. You know that? He got all the logistics. They were, you know, the Prussians and the Germans were taken over from that side, and when they got free, he made sure they had everything they needed to eat and comfort. He did a good job. But his name is, it's mud now, isn't it? We don't look upon Herbert Hoover as doing well. Got to get rid of him. We need a new deal. We got one, didn't we? We got the Tennessee, we got Social Security out of it, and the Tennessee Valley Authority, and all sorts of good things, but elections are something. We put our faith in men. So last week we had that interesting story, didn't we? About the ark and Dagon. Remember Dagon, the corn god? And so the people of Israel thought, if we have the Ark of the Covenant in front of us, no one can defeat us, right? We're unbeatable. And God said, no, I will not be used. And so they lost the battle to the Philistines, the neighboring folks. And so they took the Ark, and they took it to their town. They put it in their temple. And God said, what? Oh, no, you don't put me next to other gods, especially the God of corn and of fertility and wheat. He says, no, you don't. And there the people got very sick. So I said, well, we got to get rid of this thing, right? Let's take it to the next town. And they got sick. And they said, let's take it to the next town. And they got sick. Let's take it to the northeast. They got sick. Let's take it over to Rising Sun. They got sick. Everybody's getting sick. They're figuring out, this thing, we don't need it around, do we? So they sent it back to Israel. And when it got back to Israel, the men there of the city of Beth Shemesh, the house of the sun, they looked inside of it, and what happened to them when they looked in the ark? They all died too. God's got his rules for us. And one of the rules is you don't touch the ark. Only the Levites, only the Levi people touch it. And you don't look in it. And it never rides on a cart. You carry it. This is what God says, because this is where his presence will be. But his presence wasn't there because the people were unfaithful. And so we see now the men of Beth Shemesh say, we got to get rid of this thing. Let's send it somewhere else. It's like hot potato, isn't it? There's a story of a coin. I can't remember the story, but we read it in sixth grade because I got that weird memory. Remember Mrs. Armstrong? She was pretty cool. She said, hey, who's got the Beatles White Album? I got it. Can you bring it in so we can play Eleanor Rigby? Never forgot that. Of course, it's a Harm record, so it's got covered with cat hair and dog hair, and you know, you bring it out in front of everybody, and she puts it on the thing. It's like pop, pop, pop. Pss. You know that you got to blow on it. Anybody remember vinyl records? I know Lowell, you cut a few, right? You remember them vinyl records? My son and I were watching the History Channel about music. I had to explain to him these things, cassettes and these things. And I tell you, I much like it better now. I like Spotify. I get what I want when I want, any time of day. It's pretty neat. All right, where was I? Anyway, nobody wants this thing. What are you going to do with it? So another village says, we'll take it. So the men of Kiriath Jearim, north of Beth Shemesh, they took the Ark of the Lord. They brought it to a man's house. His name was Abinadab. It was a house on the hill, and they consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the Ark of the Lord. Doesn't need much guarding, does it? Because who wants it? It's going to cause you trouble. The ark remained at Kiriath Jearim for a long time, 20 years in all. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel, he is the judge. He was the one raised up by God. His mother Hannah left him at the temple of Shiloh, right there in the care of Eli the priest. Eli, who had those two awful sons, right, Hophni and Phinehas, who were doing evil, and they were struck down on one day. And The father died the same day too. So the line, House of Eli, was destroyed, and Shiloh is no more. No more the cultural center. No more the hub of religious activity. It's done with. So Samuel, he's the judge. He's raised up. When God needed someone to lead the people, he would call on somebody. We see this in the book of Judges. He raised up Deborah. He raised up Gideon, right? Mighty warrior. And he raised up Jephthah. And of course, Samson, remember him? He raised him up. These men would lead Israel against their enemies. And when there was peace, they'd go back. Of course, the people always turn away. They turn away from God. They kind of forget things, don't they? We forget what side our bread is buttered on. So there, Samuel said to all the Israelites, because they're gathered, he says, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods, of the Ashtoreths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. Because the Philistines are still there. They're still along the coast there in a place we call Gaza today. It's still there. And there they are. They're always a little bit of pressure. They're taking over. Maybe they come and take someone's field and they have to fight back. And they are the enemy to them. So the Israelites put away the other gods, the Baals and the Ashtoreths. And Ashtoreth, they put a pole in the middle of town and they would dance around it and praying to this god. And we know Baal was the god of fertility for them. Not a real god at all. It's a god made with hands, our hands. So they put the Baals and the Ashtoreths away and they serve God only. Then Samuel said, assemble the entire country of Israel at Mizpah and I will intercede with the Lord for you. Like Moses interceded for the Lord. We have a tough time going in to see God ourselves, don't we? We need an intercessor. You're never going to guess who it is. Jesus, right? It's Jesus. So get together and Samuel will intercede for us. And they assembled at Mizpah. They drew water and they poured it out before the Lord. A cleansing, a sign of repentance, because water is very valuable, isn't it? And then they poured it out. It's hard to get. You got to wait for it to rain or you got to dig a deep hole. They poured it out before the Lord, and on that day they fasted and they confessed their sins. They said, we have sinned against the Lord. This is a whole nation turning around. Isn't this good news? So what's going to happen when the people all turn back towards the Lord and forget the other God? Something good, right? This is a lesson. There's a sermon in here. We're finding it. We have sinned against the Lord, and now Samuel was serving as the leader of Israel at Mizpah. The Philistines hear that everyone's gathered together. It's their chance to wipe them out, right? Let's go wipe out Israel, which is some folks are still trying to do that today. They heard that Israel was assembled, so the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. The Israelites heard that they were going to be attacked, and they were very afraid of the Philistines. And they said to Samuel, cry out to God for us. Don't stop. May he rescue us from these Philistines. And Samuel took a lamb. And he sacrifices the whole burnt offering to the Lord. And he cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf. And the Lord answered him. When Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines. And he threw them in such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out. And they pursued the Philistines. And they, with children around, I'll say, dispatch them all the way to Beth-Kar. There Samuel took a stone, and he dedicated it, and he called it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help, or thus far the Lord has helped us. You always wonder what that word meant, didn't you, Ebenezer? Stone of help. So the Philistines were subdued and they stopped invading Israel. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against them, the Philistines, the towns from Ekron to Gath. We know who came from Gath, right? The big guy who takes on David and loses. But the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to Israel, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites to the east. Samuel continued as Israel's leader all the days of his life. From then on, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, which was his home. And there he also held court, and he built an altar to the Lord there. What do we see here? The whole nation repenting, confessing their sins and turning back to God. And what does God do? You think this nation needs some repenting? It sure does. Who's going to save us? He's like a Methodist preacher, isn't he, in the old days, doing the old circuit, round and around, right? Riding around. That's why we put these churches every 6 miles. Did you know that? So that a preacher could get there on horseback, you know, do the 9 o'clock ride, do the 11 o'clock ride, do the 1 o'clock. Who wants a 1 o'clock service? Not me. Then the 3 o'clock ride to the next one, right? The old circuit. No air conditioning back then. I wouldn't have made it. But Shiloh is done. The corruption. It was the center for hundreds of years, and it's done with. Now we start our story. That was just to set you up. You all right with that? Samuel chapter 8. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. And the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the second one was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba. Once again, remember with Eli? He was a good priest, but what did his sons do? They're awful. It's hard to raise good kids. My kids are so good, and your kids are. Did you raise them alone? No. Yeah, you had a little help here, didn't we? My kids are great. They're awesome. I have nothing to do with it. All right? They went to Sunday school at James for 15 years, and they finished it up at Mount Pleasant for 3. They went every Sunday, and the son would say, I'm not going to church today, when he was like 4. We'd say, okay. And we'd get in the car, and he'd follow us, you know, because he knew. I don't want to go. I'm not going. All those years and all those teachers and Kenmore people caring for him. We were talking about Mr. Nickerson today. Their favorite teacher was Mr. Nickerson. He was the custodian. He's the one that talked to them and was nice to them. He was a great one. And we had the same thing. I had Mr. Adams. Remember Mr. Adams in elementary, Timmy's dad and Kenny's? And then at high school, one of our good friends was the custodian. He'd always come out to watch us play football and wrestle. And we're raised by everyone, right? But these kids, even though they had a good parent, Samuel was wise and upright in the ways of the Lord, these kids were rotten. The sons did not follow his way, and they turned aside. After dishonest gain, they accepted bribes and then perverted justice, it says. So the elders of Israel came together, and they got a point. They came to Samuel at Ramah, and they said, you're old and your sons are awful. You know what we need? We need a king. We need a king like the other people have. We want to be like them, right? And they said, give us a king to lead us. This upset Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. Hear what the Lord says. It is not you who they are rejecting. It's me. They're rejecting me. Don't you feel a little hurt now? I feel bad for it. They're rejecting God. Has he not done everything he promised for them? Delivered them from slavery, bringing them across the water, freeing them from Pharaoh. They get out in the middle of the desert, and what do they have? They're thirsty, and the water flows from the rock. We were watching an Iceland video yesterday. Water flows from, have you seen water flowing from rocks? It happens. You go to, it just keeps coming. And it's cold. It's amazing. And it keeps coming. And we know this happens. The water flows from the rock. They're hungry. And what happens? Bread from heaven falls upon them. Now they want meat, right? And what happens? Quail just land on the ground, cover it thick as can be. And they have all they want to eat and drink. And they still reject him, don't they, when they're given the law? They still look for a golden calf. We want something that we make. We want to worship what we make. We want a king. And they've done this, he says. Since the day I brought you out of Egypt, he says, they forsake me and they serve other gods. So they are doing it to you also. Now listen to them, but warn them, and let them know what the king who reigned them over will claim as his rights. Here's what God says. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He says, this is what a king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He's going to take your sons and make them serve with the chariots and the horses, and they will run in front of him. First line of defense, right? Men, the sons, our boys, our military. Some of them he will assign to his commanders of thousands, commanders of fifties, and he'll command others to plow the ground and reap harvest for him to do his work, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He's going to take your daughters, he's going to make them perfumers and bakers and cooks. He's going to take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves. He's going to take them for himself and give them to his friends. He'll take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage, of your wine, and give it to his officials and other friends of his. He'll take your male and your female servants and the best. He's going to take your best cattle and donkeys for his own use. He'll take a tenth of your sheep and your goats, and you yourself will become his slaves. And when that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen. But the Lord will not answer you on that day. The people refused to listen to Samuel. And what did they say? We want a king. We accept that. Who? Anybody like that deal? They took it. We'll take that. Listen to them. Give them a king. Tell everyone to go home, he says. You see, the original sin in the garden, Adam and Eve wanted to be like God. They didn't understand they had everything they needed, didn't they? They didn't need clothes. That's cool. I just saw one of your neighbors riding around the lawnmower without a shirt. I've got to get him a shirt. I never do that. My son does. Put a shirt on. We had everything we needed in the garden, but someone said, you need more. You need something else. You need to be like God. They were walking in his presence in the cool of the day. They were naked and they were unashamed. And the serpent said, no, you can be like him. Just break the one rule he gave you. Just go ahead and break. It'll be okay. You won't die. And we fell for it, didn't we? With God, they had all they needed as a king and as a leader. And they said, no. We're going to give it up. We're going to put our faith in a man. And we do it every couple years, don't we? We want change. We want things, and we want these leaders. But they're just men. And they're corrupt, and they're weak as us. And we're no better than them. And they're no better than us. And we rally around them. And we cheer for them. And all the while, we're ignoring him. Kings will take what they want. King Ahab, we know him, not a good king, right? With that wife of his. What was her name? Jezebel? They saw a garden. They saw a man named Naboth in a really nice vineyard. And they wanted it. And they said, sell it to me. He said, no. So he just went out and killed him. We'll take it. It's ours now. We see it with David. He's sitting in his room at night and he sees a beautiful woman across the way. And he says, I already got six wives, but that's the one for me. She has a husband, doesn't she? His friend, who's fighting for David on the front lines, and David takes her. They take and they take. God does want a king, though. He says that there in Genesis 49, verse 10. And we say this at Christmas time, right? The scepter will never leave Judah, right? It's going to come out of Judah. The kingship will come one day. But in my time, he says, we saw Abraham and Sarah try to force to having a baby, right? They couldn't have one together because they weren't sharing the same tent was the problem. So he goes to another tent, and there they have a child. But it's not the child of God. It's not the one he wanted. You will have one if you trust me. You will have a king if you trust me. You're not here to pick your own. I picked the kings. They picked this man we'll talk about next week, King Saul. They picked him because he was tall. And handsome. I know the feeling. I have that problem too. So they picked this him because he's good looking. We'll choose him. And they did. God will give us a monarchy. It'll be in his time. We have to wait for God's time. When God drew his people, he needed a people. The world was lawless, right? And we were worshiping other gods. It was falling into even more brokenness. And we saw him once wipe it all out. And then he says, I'm going to take a people. I'm going to start with a man named Abraham. I'm going to show you my ways. I'm going to give you my law. Follow my law. You're going to be my people. I'm going to draw you out of slavery. I'm going to give you the law, and you're going to show the world. You're going to be a city on a hill. You're going to teach everyone about me. He's going to create a nation that's in his image. But he's got a lot of rules, doesn't he? We don't like too many rules. We can't keep one. So he gives us 10. We can't keep those. Then they give us 613. We definitely can't keep those. It says we can't eat crab cakes. What do you think of that, Pauline? We can't eat crab cakes, he says. That's crazy. Well, we're all going to, you know, because we ate a few. Can't eat a cheeseburger, right? Can't wear wool and linen together. A lot of rules. We can't follow them. And he says, I know. You can't follow them. I want to create a nation that's in my image, and that's going to be you people, and we fall apart. So what do we need? We need an intercessor, don't we? Someone to come between us and God. And we know that man is Jesus. The best part of heaven came down to sacrifice himself for us, to fulfill the law that we couldn't keep. He kept every bit of it. He kept every bit of Pentecost. He kept every bit of the Ascension. He keeps every bit of what it says in Leviticus. He keeps the law. He doesn't break any of it. Not one iota, jot, one tittle will ever fall away. Jesus says we got to obey all the law. It's not easy, is it? It's hard, and we will fall. You better have a backup plan. You better have a Savior. And that's what Jesus is. Boy, sure is easy to tie Jesus and everything. We talk about the same Jesus. Hey, what was his name? The God I was talking about? What was his name? The Philistine?
Dagon.
We talk about Jesus, the ark. We don't need the ark anymore because his presence came with us. You see? Every week, year I think I'm, this is as political as I get because this isn't my spot. Like when I go to county council and they said, come pray before the county council. They're not there for Sean Herm's opinion. Nobody cares what I think. But I go there because Al Miller invites me and say a prayer and bless these people. And that's what I hear during this election year. We ask for prayers for both parties and both candidates to do the good for us, don't we? We're going to get angry and we'll put signs in their yards. The neighbor's sign doesn't agree with my sign. I don't have a sign because you got to pay for them. Did you know that? They're not free. So I don't put anything in my yard. We don't even have signs for our business. So we just word of mouth. Right, Chuck? That's how we go. We don't need no signs. We don't put a name on the side of the truck. You know me. We have everything we need in the Lord. When we turn to him and we repent, he wipes away our sins forever. And that's what we need. We need a heavenly king, not these earthly kings that will fail us, but a heavenly king that loves us enough to die for us, to be raised, and we will be raised with him. And when our house is burned down, we got the good one in heaven. That's the good house. It'll never burn down. It's going to come down here and replace this earth. There's going to be 1,000 years of peace. Can we imagine some peace in our lives? Would you pray with me? We need you, Father. We need to hold you as our King. We need to proclaim Jesus as Lord over all of our lives. We sing the song, we surrender all, but do we? Do we give it all up to you? We pray for one another. We pray for leaders. We pray for military. We pray for teachers and all those who are hurting today. We pray for ourselves to be good friends to those who need it, to be providers to those who are hungry. And we need to do all these good things in your name, in the name of Jesus. People will see us by our actions, by what we do, by how we share and how we love, how we cooperate with one another, how we share the law. We are a disobedient people. We are forgiven. Only when we call in the name of Jesus, there is only one way. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. And so now we know. It's no secret. We need to share this with everyone, to continue to be light of the earth and salt of the earth. Not need salt, not be the ones who need light, but to share light, to be salt. to be what's good in people's lives, to stop fighting with one another, to start sharing love. I thank you, Father, for protecting my family, protecting this church, keeping it in your care, allowing it to continue to do its mission, its service, to proclaim the name of Jesus to a hurting and broken community. We thank you for this day. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we say, Amen.